news, weather, truth, and fun. We're iHub Radio, homegrown in the Coachella Valley. For a fresh take on the news with Anita Rufus, you won't know if you don't listen.
And thank you so much for listening. This is Anita Rufus, the lovable liberal. I want to talk about the president. But first, I think it's important to talk about the Supreme Court. I'm a court junkie. I have a law degree. I love the law. I believe in the law. And I'm always interested when the Supreme Court finally gives out all of their opinions for the current term, and that usually happens in June, or in this case, July. They had a lot of things they were trying to deal with. So I want to run through some of their decisions very quickly, because some of them we haven't really heard much about. Let me start with the Supreme Court decided they would not strike down a federal law that bans automated calls to cell phone users. By a vote of 6-3, the court rejected this challenge to a federal law that was passed in 1991 called the Telephone Consumer Protect Act, which was meant to stop the nuisance of computer-dialed cell phone numbers. Now, in 2015, Congress did add an exception to the law that allows robocalls to collect debts that are owed to the federal government, not just to anybody you owe money to. But the Supreme Court decided they would not stop this federal law that bans automated calls to our cell phones. I know that there is a place online where you can go and put your number in and say, I do not want to receive these kinds of calls anymore, and you should do that. Supreme Court upheld the position of the Trump administration on a provision of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, that gave free contraception to women. Now, you would think, if you were a logical person, you would think that pro-life people would support the idea of making contraception available to women as easily and without payment as possible so that you could prevent unwanted or unplanned pregnancies. Clearly, they just never want people to have sex outside of a planned attempt to get pregnant, which is really ridiculous. In 2012, when Obamacare went through, there was a regulation requiring most employer-sponsored insurance plans to cover the costs of birth control. In less than just 2 years after that went in, the proportion of privately insured women who paid nothing out of pocket for birth control pills went from 15% of women to 67% of women who were no longer facing the fear of an unplanned pregnancy because they couldn't afford birth control. This is health care, basic health care for women, and it helps to avoid abortions. Duh! But the Supreme Court upheld the idea that another piece of Obamacare bites the dust. Here's another Supreme Court decision, that employment discrimination laws don't apply to teachers in religious schools. This is another one of those issues that the religious right really wanted to get handled. This was a 7-2 ruling, so a strong majority of the court. And it means that parochial schools can fire teachers if either their race or their sexual orientation is seen as preventing them from giving religious instruction. Now, why anyone's race would mean that they can't give religious instruction if that's what they were hired to do by a religious school beats me. But the court said employment discrimination laws do not apply to teachers in religious schools. If they're doing anything that relates to teaching the faith. This was a decision, again, I have hardly heard anyone talking about this. The Supreme Court said that half of Oklahoma, the state of Oklahoma, is actually Native American territory. They recognized about 3 million acres, which is about half of the state, as Native American reservation land, based on a historical claim from the Muscogee or Creek Nation. And conservative Justice Neil Gorsuch, the one who Trump wanted put on the court, he joined the liberals in the majority of this opinion, 5-4 opinion. For the first time, much of eastern Oklahoma is legally considered reservation land. More than almost 2 million people live on this land, including over 400,000 people in Tulsa. The case that came up that led to this decision was about whether someone who was of Native American membership in a tribe could be tried for a crime off of the reservation, in other words, in the city or the county, or by state law as opposed to tribal law. 5-4, including Justice Gorsuch, said that land was supposed to be Native American land. So almost half of the state of Oklahoma, Supreme Court said, hey, United States made a deal a long time ago. Going to have to live with it. Excuse me for a second. For some reason, it's only about 112 outside, but my throat is getting very dry. Okay, we also know a lot this week about this Supreme Court decision about Trump's financial information. Again, a 7-2 decision, which actually was a big loss for Trump because his lawyers went into the Supreme Court arguing that subpoenas for his tax information, either by Congress or by the Southern District of New York, which is investigating him on fraud charges. His lawyers went in arguing that he's entitled to absolute immunity for anything. He can't be investigated while he's sitting in the White House. Get serious. He's the president. Supreme Court, majority of the Supreme Court said even the president is not above the law. That in our judicial system, the public has a right to every man's evidence, and that includes the president of the United States. When you are being investigated legitimately by a legitimate legal authority, in this case, the Southern District of New York, and you're being investigated and it requires that they have certain information and they get a subpoena for it, you're not protected from giving that information just because you sit in the Oval Office. He wanted the court to give him blanket immunity. He also wanted his financial records kept secret. Well, although both cases that came up, the one involving Congress wanting his information and the one involving New York wanting his information, both of those were sent back to lower courts, which means his lawyers will continue to argue whatever they can argue. But hey, Southern District of New York is going to get those records for the grand jury that is investigating fraud charges against the man sitting in the Oval Office. Question came up for me this past week. You know, the president, Obrador from Mexico, was visiting Donald Trump. This was supposedly to commemorate this new trade deal between Canada, Mexico, and the U.S., Prime Minister Trudeau of Canada decided not to come because there's a travel ban between Canada and the United States because of the damn virus. But it came up to me anyway to think about, who's paying for that wall, by the way? Remember it was going to be the Mexicans? Well, the truth is, today's taxpayers and future taxpayers are going to inherit the federal debt, which is now at a ridiculous level, with no word about that coming from either the president or the Republicans, who used to think that was a huge deal. And if Biden gets elected, it'll again be a huge deal. Meanwhile, those of us who are going to have to inherit that debt are the ones who are going to end up paying for the wall, because in February, the Pentagon announced that it was slashing billions of dollars for Navy and Air Force aircraft and other military programs to divert it to the construction of the wall. So every time you hear the president talking about how wonderful he's been to the military, how he's totally rebuilt our military, ask yourself why he never mentions all that money that he has pulled out of rebuilding the military to use to fund his damn wall. Here's something else that came up this past week for me that really kind of put me at odds with reality. Trump said that the Confederate flag, having the Confederate flag flying wherever it might fly, like a private industry like NASCAR decides not to allow it at their location. Trump said it's freedom of speech and we're in a culture war. Well, he's in a culture war, and he's certainly trying to put us all into a culture war. And I have to say, seriously, what is wrong with this man? He clearly wants racists to vote for him. He chastised NASCAR for banning the Confederate flag. He said team name changes, like the Indians or the Redskins, who are considering changing their team name, finally. He said those name changes, that was just about political correctness, because that makes his base feel better. It made me wonder, does this man even know what racism means? He said that painting Black Lives Matter on Fifth Avenue would be a symbol of hate. Black Lives Matter is hate? Then he doesn't even understand what it means. He watched that video and thought it was terrible. But he doesn't understand, as a result of that, what Black Lives Matter means. He's now decided he may end the federal housing regulation that's aimed at desegregating neighborhoods because, he said, that would have a devastating impact on America's suburbs. What that means is, you guys who live out in the suburbs better be careful, because if we went forward with this program, some of those middle-class earning black people might move into your neighborhood, and guess what would happen to your housing value? Why does he believe these kinds of appeals are going to help him dig out of the hole in which he is currently sitting with regard to polls about whether he should be reelected? He might as well have positioned himself as following the politics of George Wallace. And if you're too young to know who George Wallace was, look it up. If you want to get a sense of who Trump sounds like he is, because we don't know what he really believes, because I don't think he knows what he really believes. But history's going to look at his presidency as being a reactionary right-wing movement at a time when America is becoming 60% non-white And there's a whole core of white people in this country who are getting scared. People of color want justice, not revenge. Justice, not revenge. They have grown up as Americans believing in our system, and they honestly believe that if they just have a fair shot, they can have the same opportunities as anybody else in this country to make something of their lives. Trump's message has been increasingly negative, racist. He doesn't seem to think that he needs anything more than his core base to get reelected. By the way, in line with that, may I add one other Supreme Court case. You know, we have this electoral system, and the electoral system says, well, whoever the state votes for, there are these people called electors who ultimately all sit ostensibly and vote as electors for each state. And each state has its own number of electors. And according to the Constitution, you need a certain number of electors to win the election. But in the past, there have been what are known as rogue electors. That means whatever their state told them is the way they have to act as electors because they're representing the state, they decide to go rogue and vote for somebody else. Well, let me tell you what that means. That means, for example, that in this past election that elected Donald Trump, based on the Electoral College, because Hillary Clinton had 3 million plus more votes than he did. But the fact is, there were some rogue electors. One in particular decided to vote for, Colin Powell. And there were several rogue electors in various states around the country. They didn't want to vote for Trump. They didn't like Hillary Clinton. So they decided to do their own thing. Supreme Court this past week said, you can't do that. Supreme Court said, states control election rules and procedures. Now, of course, I've said that I think in federal presidential elections, there ought to be a legal standard set by the federal government. But that's just me. So this past election in 2016, if every one of those rogue electors, there weren't that many of them, but if every one of them had voted for the person who won the most votes in their state, Hillary Clinton would be in the White House right now. Supreme Court said, you can't do that anymore. If you're an elector, you got to go by whatever the rules are that your state put down. So, with only 115 days left until the 2020 election, there's lots of good cause for Trump to be feeling desperate. And now he won't even be able to appeal to electors who might favor him, even if Joe Biden wins their state. Because the Supreme Court said, can't do that anymore. Now, I do want to at least caution you. If you think 2020 is going to be a slam dunk based on the way polls are and the kind of antipathy that is currently shown toward the president, it's not over till it's over. The Trump campaign has a huge amount of money that they're just sitting on, waiting to find ways to define who Joe Biden is and make people as scared as possible. Now, it's true. A lot of Republicans are starting to get nervous because Trump could lose big enough to drag down all the Republicans on the ballot. Because a lot of people, if they're mad enough at Trump, they'll go in and vote for Joe Biden, and then they'll vote against the Republicans farther down the ballot. And there are some Republicans right now who are starting to get nervous about that. They may not say anything out loud because they don't want to be targeted and they don't want to have to get tweeted at and whatever. But there are many of them that are not even mentioning how they feel about Trump or his policies when they're out there on the stump in their own states. Trump is close to the point of no return. But it ain't over till it's over. And you need to get active and involved if you want to make sure that people have the right to vote, that maverick electors don't play games with whatever their state returns are. And it would be nice if Republicans running for office who are concerned about Trump's apparent racism, if that was because they don't want to be pulled down along with him, instead of being outraged because of the fact that he's racist to begin with. Look, podcasts are available at iHubRadio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Going to be taking a bit of a hiatus because I'm a little concerned about this damn virus. I don't want to even take a chance. And so I'm not going to be coming into the studio to do live broadcasts anymore or current podcasts. I'll stay in touch. You can stay in touch too. You can always email me, anita@lovableliberal.com. Take care of yourselves and for God's sake, be safe.